Father, we pray that your word would be our teacher, your spirit, our guide, and your glory, our chief concern. And we pray this through Christ, our King. Amen. So at St. George's, we've been studying for the past few weeks or so, the Apostle Peter's first letter. It was written to Christians scattered throughout what is modern day Turkey to teach them about how to be Christians in a society that was hostile to the Christian faith. We live in a society in where Christianity and the church used to have cultural and social power. But today, our culture, I think, is increasingly indifferent and at times hostile to Christianity. And we're studying this letter as a church to help us learn how to be Christians in what you might call a post-Christian society. Early in this sermon series, I suggested that living in a post-Christian society means that if you're a Christian, you are in the public eye. We are called to be a countercultural community for the common good as we live out the Bible's teaching on sex and family, on wealth and possessions, on race and power. We will look very different from the society around us. We'll stick out, but that means doing good for our neighbors so that they see us sacrificially pouring out our time and wealth for the common good. And this isn't, in a post-Christian society, all Christians are on mission in every area of their lives. This isn't just something professional Christians do, like ministers and missionaries. It's for all of us. Mission means that we need to be prepared to bear witness to Christ in our words, in our web of relationships. It means we're called to do justice and to love our neighbors. It means we need to integrate our faith and our work so that we can engage the culture with our vocations. And Peter has incredibly helpful teaching for us in this area of witness, and also how we can build a strong church community to support us as we are sent out to be public disciples. That's what we pray for, actually, at the end of our communion service, that God would send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work for his praise and glory. So this morning, we're going to look at those two themes under the headings of witness in chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, and service in chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. But before we get into those, let me just say that if whether you're a Christian or not, perhaps there's been no better example in recent times of those themes of Christian witness and service than Her Late Majesty the Queen. In her Christmas message in 2000, she said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example. It's my prayer that, like Her Majesty, the teaching of Christ would provide that framework for our lives, each one of us." Well, let's have a look at point one, witness. When Christianity is in the media these days, sadly, it's usually for one of two things. Either institutional or leadership failure, and we're going to be welcoming Bishop Richard next week to church. He's going to be preaching on the topic of leadership in the church from 1 Peter chapter 5, so you're welcome to come and hear him address that. But the second reason I think we're normally in the media is for how Christian morality is at odds with secular society. You know, what about things like gay marriage or racism or women? I've had conversations where when people find out I'm a priest, I immediately get asked a very spiky question. And it feels like if I get the wrong answer, then the relationship's going to be over before it's even begun. And I realize that if that's the case for me, then it must be very hard for all of you. My sense is that many, if not most of us, maybe don't even know where to start with these sorts of conversations. And Peter's words speak to this situation that we find ourselves in. So have a read with me from chapter 3. Peter says, "Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." I just want to make four comments about these verses and then give a couple of practical tips. First, Peter says, don't be afraid. Why? Because Christ is Lord. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who holds your future in his hands. Not your friend, not your neighbor, not your boss, or what you read in the newspaper or on social media. It can be so easy to find ourselves afraid about what others think of us, of God's existence, Christ's work of salvation. It's not dependent upon how well we might answer questions and objections. We don't need to be defensive. We can rest secure in Christ. He's the Lord. Second, Peter expects that we will live lives that are worth questioning. Notice that here again, as throughout the letter, Peter refers to our good behavior in the midst of a world of anxiety, darkness, despair, polarization, conflict, moral decay, and so on. We can shine as beacons of hope simply by living out the lives God calls us to, lives of humility, of generosity, of integrity, of joy, of humble service and obedience, of loving our neighbors. I remember seeing this with Cynthia from our 8 o'clock congregation after she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She met it with a quiet confidence that came from her hope in Christ. And it was an incredible witness to her family and friends. Well, point three, not everyone has the gift of evangelism, but Peter expects that every Christian will always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Peter says we need to be prepared to answer people's questions. And what are these questions about? Well, Peter says the hope that we have in Jesus. Not every question, goodness knows that's a long list. And in my experience, the longer that I go as a Christian, the more questions I have to say. No, what Peter has in mind here are questions about our hope in Jesus. And point four, we're to answer people with gentleness and respect. Who we are, how we treat people is just as important as what we say. We're called to speak the truth in love. And this is particularly important for discussions on social media. Our society increasingly acts like if you love someone, you have to agree with all they say and do. And if you disagree, then you hate them. But I have to say, this is simply a failure of moral imagination. And we can be people who demonstrate the art of respectful and gracious disagreement. Key to gentleness and respect and an answer that people will hear is listening well to start with, you know, just to listen to people, to ask questions about them, to demonstrate that we care about them, not winning the argument. What a beautiful gift in a conversation. So if you're here and you're a Christian, the question is, are you prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have? Can you say what your hope in Jesus is? Why do you hope in him? What has he done for you? Why do you trust him? And if you don't feel prepared, well, today's the day to start getting prepared. You could start with Peter's summary in chapter 3, verse 18. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Or as the Queen said in one of her Christmas speeches, history teaches us that we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness and our greed. God sent into this world neither a philosopher or a general, but a Savior with power to forgive. Simple, isn't it? What a beautiful message. Well, the first step to getting prepared to give a reason for your hope is to know that hope yourself. It's why we have sermons in church to teach you about the hope we have in Jesus. It's why we have our Bible study groups where we can work it out, discuss it together. It's one reason why I'd encourage you to read your Bible each day. We can help you out with that. It's what our church's library is for. It's there so you can borrow books to read and teach and learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. It's why I'm looking forward to running the Ripple Effect in our Bible study groups. It's a short course going over the basics of the Christian faith and how to have conversations about them. And if you're here and you're not a believer, you're exploring faith, you've got questions, I would love you to know the hope, the living hope that we can have in the Lord Jesus through his death for us and his resurrection triumphing over the grave. But speaking of conversation, let me just give a few tips on how to have conversations where you can give a spiritual answer. If you think about any conversation, there's two levels of things going on. One is the things that you say, the things that are kind of above board, as it were, and then there's what's going on in your head. And the cycle of the conversation goes something like this. You say something, I listen, I think of a response, I say that response, you listen, and then you respond. And we just keep going, right? You've all been in conversations. Okay, so now how do we inject the good news of Jesus into that conversation? Well, you say something, maybe about a movie or a book you've read, something you've read in the paper, whatever it is. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking, what part of the gospel story does this touch on? Does it speak to, say, the doctrine of creation, how God made everything, or the fall, how this world is fallen and broken, things fall apart? Maybe Jesus as the one who reveals God, who reconciles humanity to God, or who's the example for us to follow, or maybe the day of judgment and the new creation. Now, of course, the more you know of the gospel story, the better you'll be able to make those connections. But you could start, say, with the creed. It's a great summary. And having found a point of connection, then you formulate a response that takes the conversation forward. This may be a question, comment, story. It can be about ideas, feelings, experiences. Good questions show that you're listening to the other person. You're interested in them. And the goal with the response is to first show that you love and care for the other person, and second, to interest them in the things of God. Or as Paul says in Colossians, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. So for example, you mention climate change, and I say, that makes me think of the story of creation in the Bible. God gave humanity the job of taking care of this earth. And I'm so sad as I think about what a bad job we've done. Really simple. So what do you need to do today to get more prepared to answer people? You could have a practice of having spiritual conversations using the model we've just gone through in your Bible study groups or with your Christian friends and family. And in all this, we pray because ultimately it is God who's at work to open hearts that are to open eyes that are blind and to soften hearts that are hard. Okay, so that's witness. Let's have a think about service. I've suggested that as Christians, we're public disciples, whether or not we want to be. And being public can be being isolated, maybe even exposed. But we're not made to fly solo. We're made for community. We need strong community and rich relationships to support us as we're sent out to be salt and light in the world. And this is what church is all about. And Peter has some really excellent advice for us on how we can build that kind of church. So read with me from chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I just want to make three brief points and then finish looking at service a little bit more deeply. First, be alert and of sober mind that you can pray. So easy to fall asleep and at the wheel and just let the culture carry you along. The worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things can make us spiritually drowsy. But Peter says, stay awake. Why is that? So that you can pray. Prayer is that most basic and intimate aspect of our spiritual lives. So make it your top priority. What a privilege to speak to the God of the universe and know that he hears you and he loves you. This is how we can stay spiritually vibrant as a community. And if you'd like to join with us in prayer, we've got morning prayer on Zoom, Monday to Friday, 8:30 a.m. Above all, point two, love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Our society is fast forgetting those gifts of grace and forgiveness. And we as the church should be marked by forgiveness and love. We need it when we stuff up. I know I certainly do. Others need our love and our neighbors need us to be that community of grace. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, this is so countercultural. In Australia, we entertain, but that's a bit more about performance. And then it's only for people who are close friends. But hospitality is about welcoming the stranger and inviting them in. And I have to say, the new migrants in our church family can teach us a lot more about this. Hospitality breaks down barriers and builds friendships. So let's keep working on it as a church. Next week, we've got a church lunch after welcoming Bishop Richard. He's maybe a little bit of a stranger. Anyway, so why not come along? And if you're new here, you are so welcome to come and join us. Have a cup of tea with us after the service. And if you're a regular, who can you invite out to a coffee somewhere, or maybe into your home for a cuppa? Well, here's our key verse for today, verse 10, our second key verse for today. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You want to know how God builds the church? You want to know how we can build strong community? Well, this is how, by each of us serving. The body grows as each member serves with the gifts God's given. Whatever gifts you have, your abilities, your time, your personality, your money, your education, your car, your house, your smartphone, all that you have and all that you are, first and foremost, belongs to God. These things you have received from him, and you are God's steward. You hold them in trust for him and for his purposes. And what does Peter say? We are to use these gifts to serve others. Yes, you have to care for yourself. We all need a weekly Sabbath. We all need seasons of rest, yes. But even then, that is so that we can be ready to serve. So how are you going to serve? Many of us do so in all kinds of amazing ways, both here in church and out in the world. But for some of you, this may be a new idea. I'm convinced that we learn how to use the gifts God has given us by serving in church. My hope is that everyone here at St. George's can ask themselves these three questions. What are the needs that I can see around me? What am I good at? And what's my availability? When those three things line up, we'll get serving in that area. After our next song, we're going to hear from leaders of different ministries at church. They're going to share what that ministry does and how this helps church grow. And you'll have a chance to sign up over morning tea through those doors over there after the service. If you're not currently serving in some way, have a think about how you might be able to do so. And I have to say, it's also okay to fail when you have a go at things, particularly when you're young. You know, this is what life's all about, isn't it? And failure's a great teacher. And you know what happens? Either you'll get better when you have a go and discover you've got a gift in some area, an ability you didn't know about perhaps, or you learn a weakness. And that's great because then you know more about yourself and how you can serve in the future. Probably don't serve in that area. go for somewhere else. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So as we close, I just want to touch briefly on why it is more blessed to give than to receive, to encourage you to serve and in your serving, as so many of you do. So here are some of the blessings of giving in service. Through your service, the church grows. Through your service, the needs of others are met. Through your service, you build relationships with others at church as you serve together. Through your serving, you lift your eyes from yourself and your own problems. It's not that you don't think less of yourself. Rather, it's you think of yourself less. I hope I got that right. You don't think less of yourself, but you think of yourself less. Through serving, you grow in Christ-like character because, of course, he came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. Through serving, you actually get to see more of what God is doing in the world. And through service, you experience the Holy Spirit at work in others and even in yourself because he delights to work through very ordinary people, just like me and you. Well, what do you need to do to get prepared, to give a reason for the hope that's in you? And how can you serve as a faithful steward with the gifts God has given you? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for that incredible example of witness to you and the hope that we have in Jesus and faithful service from Her Majesty the Queen. We're not as great as her, and yet, Father, we pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit so that we may be prepared and ready to answer anyone who asks us for the hope we have in Jesus. And Father, we pray that we can be faithful stewards of all the gifts you've given us, using them to serve, to meet the needs of others, and we would have that great joy of discovering it is more blessed to give than to receive. We ask these things for your name's sake. Amen.